Hey, we're back on the air live. It is Wednesday night, and we are hours away. We got big news tonight. So if you are tuning in live, you are in luck. We'll launch chat room. Moved it back half hour. We have severe thunderstorms in the area, so I apologize for that if you were waiting for the live show, Graham. And if not, well, you could be picking this up at any time of the week, listening into the podcast. So thanks for tuning in. My name is Johnny Wilkins. You can call in via the live number at 347-994-3267. And definitely, I would take advantage of that.
Here's a dime. Call Commissioner Gordon.
We're going to have a little fun tonight, and we're hours away from a little bit of a movie. I think you might be able to pick up on a theme, perhaps, in a little bit here. But, yeah, going crazy because we've got a lot of big exciting news. If you are listening, tune in to the podcast, I'm going to give you an exclusive link, and you're going to get first crack at an exclusive website and some gear that's not been available to anybody. So you're going to get first crack in, and I want you guys to take a run through this online store that's available, and it's exclusively for live bait fishing. So there you go. But without further ado, anybody that's a DC comic fan or into the Bat, superhero with no powers, just a normal human who uses his head and his tools to outwit the bad guys. That is somebody that we want to look up to, because you, as an angler, you can think the same as the Batman, and you can use tools and use your brain to get past some difficulties. And fishing can be cracked. The code can be cracked. You can break the riddle of the fishing problems that you're having, and you can solve it. Fish got to eat. So you, as an angler, you got to provide them what they can eat. And that's it. So how about we get it started a little bit differently than we usually do? So without further ado, you can check us out. ChicagoFishingSchool.com is our home website. And like I said, I'll have an exclusive link for you at the end of the podcast for you to check out. And we'll get it going. Also, I want to get back to we'll get back to regular broadcast times coming up the next 2 weeks. This week and next, I'll be in the field. So I will be back and forth from home, et cetera. So it'll be tough for me to get a broadcast. I will shoot for next Wednesday at 9 o'clock. I will shoot for being on there, but broadcast might be tough, and so I might have to pre-record it or post-record it, and then we'll be back on live in August with shows and head into the fall season strong. So hey, let's get her started. I think some people are a little bit excited about the Thursday night premiere. You might know about the one I'm talking about.
To the Batmobile, let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Yes, it's the big premiere of The Bat. Dark Knight Rises. Anyone? Anyone? I'm kind of fired up, so I want to do a whole show around that. So we got lots of fun stuff. So we will we'll dig through this, and we'll have a little bit of fun with our podcast. We'll talk a little bit of fishing. We'll talk a little bit of Batman. But yeah, you gotta get excited about the big movie tomorrow night. And I think there's a few people that are excited, but wanted to give you a little taste, and there we go. They're firing it back up again. So tomorrow night, midnight, that's Thursday night. If you're listening to this podcast on a Saturday, well, you're late for it. It started up. So our theme tonight is going to be Rise, as in The Dark Knight Rises, if you haven't guessed. My name is Johnny Wilkins, and I do run a little fishing podcast. And like I said, the Batman is a detective, and he has no superpowers. He's just a guy with some gadgets, and he goes about outwitting his opponent. And, in his case, his opponent is a bunch of bad guys and, the lower part of society. In your case, it's outwitting a bunch of fish. So, maybe some catfish or crappie or walleye or bass or perch. And the game becomes, how do I get the fish to strike my stuff and get on my line? You got to make it simple if you're going to break down the formula. So that's what this showram is about, making it simple. And we talk a lot about live bait fishing. Why? Because that's the simple equation. Provide the fish something that's alive, that looks closest to what it feeds on naturally. So when we talk about rise, you can also talk about fish rising to take a bait. And this is something that they do naturally. And they will rise up from cover. They'll rise up suspended, and they will take a bait above them. In fact, a lot of the baits that they hit are falling from above them in the water, and they will fall downward. So a lot of the baits resemble a silhouette, and they're jet black. Again, black like the Dark Knight. So you have the shadow, and when you're going to fish, you need to think like Batman, and you need to think shadows and darkness, and you need to drop a lot of what your preconceived notions about fishing are, and you need to take a look at your tackle box. And what we've done in the past is we've had a tackle box clean out day where we dumped out the tackle box and we separated it into things that catch fish for you and things that you maybe doubt and things that have never caught a fish ever. And you want those out of your way. You don't want a bunch of stuff that doesn't catch fish in the way of your fishing. So it's that simple. You just take a look and revamp and redo. So, again, I'm excited about the premiere, and maybe we'll have a little movie review. We'll sneak it into the next podcast. But, I've been a big fan from way back, and I always dug The Bat. So I don't know why that's funny, but I think if you take a look at fishing as if you were the detective, the great detective, the Batman, and you break it down into components, it can become very easy for you. So, and that's what, like I said, this showgram attempts to do for you. So your water column, you can break it into three parts. And I talk a lot about floats on the showgram. And floats are great because you can break that water column into three parts. You have the bottom, okay? You have the middle ground, suspended, and you have the top. So when fish are feeding or active, you will find them suspended at mid-depth, and you'll find them at the top You'll also find them on the sides. Okay, we'll add a little bit of a twist there, because you do have top, bottom, and sides. Sides being maybe a weed edge, a drop edge, or kind of a highway. And that's a cut where the fish would follow and swim along. And so that's a side. But sides are harder to detect than top, bottom, and middle. So we use floats because I can attack the bottom, and I can work the bottom precisely, as I've spoken about on showgrams in the past, measuring that water and having your float adjusted to the exact depth of that water is key, because then you can fish the structure and you can provide a bait at exact depth, and you can see a lot. And the whole point, you know, like Batman having a night vision goggles, you have a float, okay? And for my anglers without sight, you're going to use it just to suspend your baits and to suspend it and get a feel. I do have a couple of anglers who listen in to the podcast who are seeing impaired, or they have no vision at all. So they are float fishing and catching fish and having success, mainly because the float is going to provide them a way in which they can get feedback as to where the bait is. When they throw it out, they feel that float, and they know that the float is carrying the bait out into the water so that they can get a feel and repetition, and they have a sense. You know, we talk about senses, and one of the things that a float provides is an extra sense for you, whether it's visual or whether it's a direct connection to it and it's feeling that float. But it provides you also a way to carry bait out to a spot. So the deadliness of a float is that you're casting the float, and if you do it gently, if you provide a gentle cast, see, a float fishing cast is different than a artificial bait cast. A lot of people whip an artificial bait because an artificial bait is not going to fall apart on the hook. It's not going to die. You're not going to injure an artificial bait when you cast it. So a lot of people develop a lot of bad casting habits from casting plastic and metal lures. So really, when you do cast live bait, you want to have a steady acceleration when you start out. You don't want to start out from a stop and go to 60 miles an hour, because if you accelerate too fast with your rod, you're going to tear, that's going to put all that force on the hook into the bait. So you want to start out with a slower and gradual acceleration. You really only want to cast with about 50% of your force if you can help it. If you're casting into a steep wind, of course, you're going to have to cast a little harder. You might have to damage your bait a little bit. But if you're able to cast with 25% to 50% of your force, then you're going to damage the bait less. So when you think of float fishing, you want to be stealthy. You want to go about your business in a stealthy fashion. You want to cast lightly, so as not to destroy your bait. And so if you get in the habit of casting at about a 25% force to a 50% force, see, very easygoing cast, you can get great distance by using the floats. Because the floats that I always advocate, I always talk about not using a round float, and I got some listener mail, and thank you so much for sending me some listener mail. Because I love to answer your questions, and I love to know, you know, what you're thinking when I'm rambling on and I'm talking about fishing over the podcast. I need to know, and I need to get feedback from you. So do, you know, send me emails, johnny@chicagofishingschool.com or radio@chicagofishingschool.com, and send me your questions, send me your setups, send me your depths, send me the type of water you have, the species. I have anglers who send me pictures of fish that they can't identify. By the way, somebody sent me a picture of a pumpkin seed. So there's your answer. You had asked. I don't think I replied back to the email. But, so there's your treat. Pumpkin seeds have a bright yellow kind of face to them, and they're just like much brighter than a bluegill. They also have a very, very small mouth. So if you're catching pumpkin seeds, you probably are getting tuned in, and you're getting a good setup. You're getting a fine tuned float, and you have a decent hook, and you have good live bait if you're catching some pumpkin seeds. Another species you can look for is a shiner. When you're starting to catch shiners, then you have taken the information from the showgram and you have modified your tackle enough so that now you're putting it in range for some very fine feeding fish. And when you do that, when you're starting to pick up those fine fish, well, guess what? You are also going to pick up all the other fish, and you're going to catch bigger fish, you're going to catch more fish. So these are some things that if you are catching these brightly colored yellow little tiny pumpkin seeds, and you're starting to pick up some tinier bluegills, we call them potato chips. They're like half the size of a potato chip. If you're able to land some of these potato chips or some of these shiners, that means it's a good thing. That means you're going to start to tune in, and you're also going to catch some of these real fine feeding bigger fish, like big bluegills, big catfish. Catfish, with the heat of the summer, the feeding becomes like a winter bite. It becomes very subtle and very difficult to detect. The fish are not comfortable in that water, and they are not going to be feeding that crazily. Also, if I do lose you, there is a thunderstorm. I did push the showground back this week to the 9:30. We are experiencing severe thunderstorms, so if I should lose the power, you know, just hang with me. We'll reconnect on the podcast. But the rain and the lightning are coming down, so it's definitely a dark night. Stick with the theme, right? So, but yeah, we hope that it doesn't get too nasty out there. But yeah, we'll stick with it. So you need to be stealthy, and when you do that, you will catch, you know, not the criminals, but in your case, you will catch the smaller fish.
Boys, girls, go back to your studies. Believe me, nothing in life is free.
We got to get that one again. So if you're not a fan.
Boys and girls, go back to your studies. Believe me, nothing in life is free.
That's, boys and girls, get back to your studies. So study, you're studying your fish, you're listening to the podcast. And if you're not a fan, this is a show from the late 60s, at the Batman TV show. So a little bit of treat for the online or the podcast listeners. Or a nightmare. Maybe you have seen it and you don't like it, but hopefully you get a kick out of it. So when you do start to pick up on a few different species, you're doing it right. You're starting to get the system down. And like I said, I got a big announcement at the end of the podcast. If you're listening, you can jump in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com, of course. A little chat room for people. And like I said, send me emails, radio@chicagofishingschool.com. Asian carp in the news, a couple different stories ranging from Chicago waters. A lot of testing is going on because they really want to get some definitive answers if these things are threatening the Great Lakes. Maybe some carp evidence in Lake Erie, way out in Ohio. If that's the case, that's trouble. But we'll talk a little bit more about the Asian carp coming up.
Can Batman escape? One hint, the worst is yet to come.
That's what I hear. So there you go. Let's see. So I did speak a little bit. The summer bite, when we're in a massive heat wave, like a 50-year heat wave, so things cycle around, and we're stuck in a pattern which many of us are not familiar with, and that is super hot fishing. And it's different. I likened it to a summer or a cold water, like a winter bite. The fish are, the oxygen levels are shifting. And like I said, again, if I cut off, it is because of the storm outside. So just keep that in mind. And I might actually have to take some shelter here in the old bat cave, I guess, head down in there. So. If things shake loose and I got to run, I will hang up and we'll tune in the same bat time, same bat channel, right?
Can Batman escape? One hint.
Tune in tomorrow. Same cat time, same cat channel.
channel.
Okay. I just wanted to, if we cut off, at least I put the ending out. But yeah, I'm getting thrashed here. So, this actually brings me to tip of the week. And speaking about the storms and the lightning, if you are going out fishing and you want to take a trip, maybe even have family or friends, and you want to remain safe, a lot of parks across the country have what's called a Thor guard. Now, I know the theme is DC night, and this is actually a Marvel comic, but Thor, the Thor guard is actually a lightning warning system, and it connects parks across a region so that it can detect lightning approaching from other parks. So the other park relays ahead to your park, and your park buzzer is going to go off, and a light is going to flash. So this is kind of cool. So if you've never looked it up, look up Thor guard, and look for waters where you can get that Thor guard warning. And it's nice because it gives you like 25 minutes, 35 minute warning. You can easily pack up, get to your car, get some shelter if you're going to deal with some summer thunderstorms like we have outside the Studio Showroom Lounge tonight. So I fish in the Thor guard lakes that have the Thor guard service. And I do have a caller coming on, so I will jump over to that. But I fish in the Thor guard system, and I've seen it work. I've packed up and safely gotten off. I've warned other anglers that the flashing light and the sirens mean it's time to go. So, hey, let's throw a dime in here.
Here's a dime. Call Commissioner Gordon.
And see, maybe it's Commissioner Gordon on the line here. I'm going to go to the 360 area code. You're on the air.
Hey, Johnny Wilkins.
Hello.
My name's Chris. I'm calling from Washington State, and I'm the guy that's been emailing you about river fishing and such.
Sure. Hey, Chris. Did you catch the pumpkin seed?
No. I looked it up, and maybe I looked it up. It was a sunfish, a Langur sunfish, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got a smaller mouth on it. It's real bright. So.
Yeah, I heard they're pretty tough to catch, so I was kind of proud of myself. A lot of people around here have fished that lake before and never came close to anything like that before, so I credit you and your teaching methods for the success there.
Oh, hey, thanks for calling in and saying that, for sure. Because we've been going back and forth and sending some emails back and forth about some setups. So, anytime you have a question about certain depth or a setup or... definitely call in or send an email.
Yeah, definitely. You've been really good about responding to the emails. And at this point, I'm at 44 fish since June, the beginning of June, since I started listening to your podcast. And that's more fish than I've ever caught in a year in my life. So I got to give you a lot of credit and say thanks for that. I did have a question about the disgorger that I received with my pack of awesome killer deadly floats.
Okay, and you actually got, I think I gave you some preview stuff because the shipment was slow, so I threw in a bunch of other stuff, if I remember right.
Yeah, I got a ton. I got a casting float with a really long antenna kind of going down.
Yeah.
That one casts really well. I am one of your D student guys with one of those short micro rod deals, but
yeah.
The reason why I use that is because I'm in the boat. I'm in a little inflatable. And I have longer poles. I've been fishing for a long time, but that one just seems to be most convenient to me, and I really don't have to cast too far either. So, you know, but I caught that Langur sunfish that's got bright turquoise dots going from mouth to tail and a really bright yellow bottom. It looked like a saltwater fish. I pulled this thing out of the water, and it's got it swallowed a hook on me. I caught it with a spike on a really small Gamakatsu red, I think it was a 16 hook.
Okay.
And like I said, it barely moved the float, but it sucked that thing down. And I had injured a fish previously with a disgorger trying to get that hook out, and it was bleeding out of the gill. So I took it home and I ate perch for the first time in my life. It was pretty good. But I didn't want to jack this fish up because it was so pretty, and you know, I hoped to grow it up a little bit and catch it again. So I wanted to toss him back in. So I clipped the line as opposed to trying it. And I figured I'd give you a call and get some tips on use of that device.
Yeah, that's a great question. The disgorger, these were actually made the turn of the century. Disgorgers were pretty common. They were made out of iron, though. And so the disgorger I sent you is made out of nylon, so it's nice and soft. I think it'll float a bit. You don't want to drop it in the lake, but I think
it'll... I carry two just in case, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But the disgorger has a notch on it. And the secret to this gorger is that you need line tension. So the first thing you want to do is you want to adjust the length of the line on your rod. So if you have a 6-foot rod or 7-foot rod, you want to maybe put the tighten the line so that it's maybe 4 feet of line from the tip or 3 feet of line, so that you can actually put a little bit of bow in the line with, you know, tension the fish while holding the fish, tension that line up a little bit. And that's going to do all the magic for this thing, because what it's going to do is it's going to straighten out the hook shank. And then you take the disgorger, which has the notch on it, you slide the notch on the line, and because you have that tension now, it's a straight wire down to where the hook is. Okay.
And then so the rounded end fits in the turn on the hook.
Exactly. And so now, because you have the tension, the round end's going to strike the gape in the hook. And then once that nylon gets in the gape of the hook, you're going to push downward. You're almost going to feel your rod tip move as you push downward, if you're doing it right. And you do a half turn. And all that's doing is it's taking that hook, backing it out, and the half turn then is going to bring it straight out the opening.
Okay.
And once you get the tension, that's it. That's like all the cheetah, what we say up here. It's like that's the secret. And so it'll be odd the first couple you do, because you'll think, oh, I'm pulling on this, I'm going to injure the fish. But it's the opposite, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
And on the smaller fish are easier to injure because the gills are, you know, you have very little space between the gill left and right.
Right.
So once it's so small that you can barely fit the tool in, it's tougher. So on the small fish, we, you know, those are the ones where if I catch 400 fish, it's the two little tiny ones where I'll have an issue with.
Right, okay.
So like you said, make use of it. If a seagull is not going to eat it, or an osprey, you can take it home with you. Otherwise, the turtles will eat it, or, you know, nature has a way of feeding itself. So.
Right, definitely. I just want to be the most responsible angler I can be, and not go around, you know, killing stuff that, you know, I'm trying to grow up so I can catch it later. And
yeah.
The half turn's a secret on it. That's what I wasn't doing. And the other thing I was doing is I'm holding on to this fish that's got spines sticking out of the back. I'm not used to that. I'm a trout guy. You know, steelhead and salmon—they don't normally poke you with their dorsal.
No.
So I'm trying to be careful with that. And this guy's flopping around, and you know, with the perch, you know, is what I first kind of really started catching a large quantity of,
you know,
compared to what I had been catching, and you know, I figured out once I took the one home, I kind of got to look at it a little bit more and see where the danger zones are.
Yeah.
And I got the disgorger to work a couple times on the bigger ones, but you're right, the little ones are kind of a bear. So right on, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for the instructional on the disgorger.
Yeah.
And one more question real quick. These floats, I don't know the names of them. I tried to look it up and find the names so I know how to reference them. But one of the smaller ones, orange top, black on top and gray on the bottom.
Okay.
Of the bulb. Can you make that into a slip float?
There's a couple different floats, and kind of the big announcement is that these are going to be available to everybody. So a select few people have received advanced shipments of these, but these are going to be available to everybody online. So that's what the big announcement is. So I'll be giving the secret address out for people, which won't be so secret coming up. But these can definitely be slip float rigged because they have a metal eye in them. And so that's going to allow, like, a 4-pound test to slide through there real easily.
And just don't put the silicone sleeves on the bottom?
Correct. Well, if you have the graphite, if you have the antenna below the float, There's two types of floats you receive. You received like what I call a short distance or a pole float, and that's fixed on the line by those silicone sleeves. And then the other floats you receive, you should have had a metal base with an eye on it.
Right, right, yeah.
And those are the wagglers.
Okay.
Or I call them missiles. And the because they have the metal eye, you're going to run your line through, and on top you want your slip knot, which you can make out of the did I send you directions on how to make a monofilament slip stop?
Yeah, you did, definitely.
A stop knot?
I pre-tied some of those, and they look messy because you know you leave it 4 inches long.
Yeah.
But that thing casts through the guides like a dream compared to the little rubber.
Exactly.
Float stop I was doing. That thing sucked. It always hung up on the guides on the way out, and this just flows right through.
Yeah.
And I just pre-tied a few, and I used them up, on the water, and it was easy to apply. It was great.
And it looks like a bloody mess, doesn't it? I mean,
it looks
an absolute disaster.
And you know, I'll get a little tangle going, and that looks like, you know, a nightmare. And then I just slide it up the line to get it out of the way, and you know, untie my tangle. But yeah, it makes it look like, oh my god, what happened? Oh yeah, that's right. Those float stops
are
4 inches long.
No, they look like a mess, but you know, they go through the guides kind of more quiet than the other. The yarn stop knots, they're too bulky and they're too short. In fact, the instructions tell you to clip them shorter. But then you end up with these stiff bristles that hit your guides, and so actually those cast shorter. So yeah, you can definitely make a slip stop knot out of the same line you're using, and that's the best. That's actually the pro way that I was taught, and that's how guys like in the world championships, they'll use a monofilament stop knot like that.
The same line that is coming off the off of your main line?
Yeah, the same exact line you use. So say you were to start fishing, then the first thing you do if you're going to create a slip knot or a slider is you're going to trim two pieces of, 7 or 8 inches of line off. Just clip them off, and that's how you're going to start. You're going to tie those on. You tie two of them. And the reason you tie two of them is one will slip up and down, but two won't. Two will stay
right
in place. So you actually have this, like, four strands of line, and that's why it looks like a bloody mess. But those four strands of line fire through the guide like nothing. I mean, it's really smooth how they go through the guide, and they go on the reel just fine. So you can fish 23, 35, 40 feet of water with that slip knot and these floats. So the silver float that you got is probably going to be better for deeper water.
Shorter silver and black ones?
Yeah. No, it's bigger. Did I send you? Oh, you know what? You might not have received this because it's longer, but it's a silver. It's almost 10, 12 inches long.
Oh, no. I got the one with the waggler, you know, with the eye.
The black
on the
wagglers, yeah.
It's all black, yeah. But I didn't get the other.
Okay. So the other one's got a little bigger eye. It's much bigger float. You can use bigger shot, and that's for deep, deep water. So the black floats that you received, the black missiles, those guys are for, let's say, 12 foot of water, a little bit shallower water.
Okay.
Those are better for shallow water, like finesse conditions, because those have really tiny antenna. And then I got another silver float that's going to have a thicker antenna, and that's, I mean, you can drive that down deep water. It'll set up real fast for you.
Yeah, I noticed with bigger bait, like the little Dutch wigglers, the mini night crawlers.
Yeah.
Even at that size, it's. I mean, I'm using the smallest size shot from Superdew that I have.
Yeah.
And I put maybe two on, and it's pretty much buried in the water. It's like an orange bump.
Oh, that's good. That's perfect. That's why you're catching some of those things. And do you have trout near you too, right?
Definitely.
Okay. And the trout, you'll notice, they're pretty cool because they never miss. But what I found with trout is like they always hit in the beak, and then a lot of times they'll eject it because it just didn't feel right to them, but they're trout. They'll, like, circle back around like a shark, and they'll hit it again. So you'll get this phenomenon of your float will go down, and, like, don't panic and set the hook. Sometimes it'll come straight back up kind of slowly, and then be ready because then a trout will hit it again. Like they, I don't know if they get a taste of that worm, but they'll come back around, and then you're catching more perch because they're real fine feeders. You know, they're mini walleyes. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've listened to a lot of the episodes over again, and as I learn things, and I apply them. And it takes me a couple days. I've got a full-time job and, you know, doing that part of, you know, the deal. But when I get to go fishing, I'll listen to, you know, a couple podcasts a couple times. And, you know, I'll listen to something new and I can apply it to my repertoire. You know what I mean? And it seems like I learn new stuff from the same program as I learn more.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great because
so,
you have to learn every time out. Like, sometimes I think I really got it down pat, and then a lot of times I'm getting schooled out there, so I'm learning. So
well, you've taught me how to teach, you know, this information. So I'm actually taking a guy from work out, one of the first guys that asked to, you know, learn more about this method, and we're going out 4:30 tomorrow morning, and I'm going to teach him what I know, and he's going to get one of my floats, and he doesn't catch much fish, so we're going to change that for him. So thanks for that from him, I'm sure.
Well, you're very welcome, and now you know, like, the secret of that discorder, you know, keep that line tight, and then dip your hand. A lot of people don't know, get your hand wet so that you don't have a dry hand get on the slime coat of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
So dip your hand in, get it wet before you handle the fish, and then with those spines, what you actually want to do is kind of rake them flat, and so you want them kind of in the turn of your fingers. You want to put your fingers on top of those and then press them flat.
Okay.
So that'll help. Yeah, that'll help you to hold those. I deal with a lot of fish with spikes on them.
Nice.
We don't have trout available to us, but twice a year.
Yeah, so. I listened to your opening day. They won't open the gate for me podcast. It's ridiculous,
yeah.
Man. Give me a break.
No.
I know you call it standing on your or getting on your tackle box or your soapbox.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's entertaining episodes for sure, dude.
Yeah, I got to chill out, too. I mean, it's, you know, it's a big county, big city, so things happen. But when I had the guy, like, pull up to the gate and drive away and then say somebody else is going to open it, that those get frustrating. But
yeah.
Patience.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah, it's a virtue. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for calling in, and you know, let me know via email or call in with success on the disgorger. And I think these are essential. If I don't have these in my box, I don't feel like I'm going fishing. So I need to resupply these and have them available for you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
So, all right.
Right on. Thanks, Johnny.
All right, have good fishing. Let me know how it goes.
All right, I will. Thanks.
All right, talk to you. Bye.
All right, bye.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for calling in, and thanks for definitely emailing and ordering. That was our guy. He was looking up species of fish and having good success, and I love to hear stories of success. And also, if you're not having success or you're stumped or you need to work something out, that's okay because, like I said, I don't get it right every time out, right? Sometimes you run into some issues out there. So I run into issues as well. So we can share those. And don't feel afraid to call in if you're not having success, because probably you need to call in the most or you need to send me an email. Not everybody is comfortable calling in and speaking on the radio show. And I myself, you know, I'm not the best interviewer. So maybe send an email. That's the best way to go about it. But I want to share success with people and then spread the good word. It sounds like there's another person who's going to experience some float fishing, and that's what it's all about. So Chris is going to take somebody out fishing and teach them. So we love that. I love to hear that. I love to hear that you guys are taking new people out and getting them a taste of some success. So, hey, if you're catching a few fish, you are doing much better than most of the population out there. So I often say that when I go fishing, I see people, they have fishing gear. They're at the edge of the water. But their head's all over the place. They're watching ducks. They're watching cars drive by. They're a lot of times, you know, they'll start to stare at me. I'm catching some fish. Maybe I'm having a little bit of success that day. But they're not watching their stuff. And you can't catch fish if you don't watch your line and your float. And even a lure, even if you're dragging a lure through the water, you need to have a certain amount of attention to that. So, and I know sometimes, you know, where I've been, where I come from, and where I've fished in the past before I switched up, it's hard to keep your focus after hours and hours and hours of no, you know, no feedback. You're getting no response. There's no action on your line, et cetera. And it's tough. But the stuff I teach you and share with you, you should have a lot more action. You should not have these long periods where you have no action at all when you're fishing. And to me, that's what it's about. So I don't care if I'm catching a 3-pound fish or a 3-ounce fish. The coolest thing about these methods that I'm sharing is that you might be into a whole school of just the tiniest, you know, tenth of a pound. I mean, real 1 ounce, 1.5 ounce fish, and you might have to go through a few of those fish. But when you're catching them, you're attracting big fish nearby. And oftentimes, if my fishing slows down, it's because something big has moved in on the spot. And so fishing is fishing to me. Catching a fish is what it's about. So it doesn't matter the shape, the size, if it has, you know, if it's a trout, if I'm going to eat it, or if I'm going to release it. I just need to be catching something. Most of the time I'm releasing. So when I post those numbers on that on the site, those are released fish except for when they do the stock. In our region up in the Midwest in Chicago, it's urban fishing. So the stocked trout are literally trucked in from ponds, placed in our ponds for these masses of hordes of people who are just, they're craving a fish. And these stock trout often haven't been fed for a week and a half, 2 weeks. So anything these guys are chucking at the water, they're going to hit sometimes now. But there you go. So we got some good stuff coming. Like I said, I'm going to hold back with the surprise. And the big announcement coming up here, I gave it away a little bit, right? So people know what's going on. There you go. I'm still excited. I think we're like 14 hours away from a Dark Knight release. So let's get a little bit of fishing news because there are some carp movements. And if you guys don't have these Asian carp, and I always say like big mouth carp, big mouth or silver carp is the correct carp. These are taking over on here. They're definitely in the headlines, and hopefully they have not distributed themselves across the waterways. But there you go.
Spanning the world to bring you a constant variety of fish news. From the Chum City Newsroom, here's your anchor, Johnny Wilkins.
Detroit Free Press headline, invasive fish. No Asian carp are found in last week's intensive search for the voracious species in Chicago's Lake Calumet, connecting body of water that connects the I&M Canal to Lake Michigan and the other Great Lakes. I'm filling in the blanks for those of you who don't live in the region. The Asian Carp Regional Coordinating Committee, a group of federal and state agencies, reported Monday that the three-day search that involved commercial crews, electrofishing boats, and seine nets caught more than 6,300 fish of more than 30 different species, but no bighead or silver carp. Among some, worries are high that Asian carp could make it into Lake Michigan and then spread through the Great Lakes, destroying the ecology that's in place in those lakes. Electronic barriers on the Chicago area waterways keep them at bay, but the coordinating committee ordered an intensive search after three Asian carp DNA samples were found to be positive in Lake Calumet in recent weeks. Wow, we go right to abducted Americans. There you go. And we'll stick to fishing news. If you're traveling abroad, be careful, of course. And then, while Asian carp or silver bighead carp were not discovered after an intensive search. Evidence of Asian carp were found in Lake Erie. The same day that the Great Lakes Commission reported a study identifying the Chicago area waterway system as the most likely entry point for Asian carp in the Great Lakes, evidence of the fish showed up elsewhere in Lake Erie. That doesn't mean, though, that the region should throw in the towel and concede its lakes to the voracious invaders, officials say. Just the opposite. We have not lost the fight, GLC Executive Director Tim Etter said in an email response to a Daily News Inquiry Tuesday. We've just opened another front. Etter was referring to last week's announcement by the Michigan and Ohio Departments of Natural Resources that a relatively new technique had identified genetic tracks of the Asian carp in water samples taken last August from Lake Erie. So evidently they're going back and retracing, retesting these samples that they had last August. Six water samples from Sandusky and North Maumee Bay areas tested positive for the silver or bighead carp material called eDNA for its environmental sourcing. The genetic material could have been carried into the lake with scales, feces, or mucus from Asian carp, or left by the fish themselves, which officials believe most likely. It's not proof, however, that an established population of the invasive fish exists in that area. It takes more than a couple of eDNA hits to demonstrate that more than just a fish or two are present in Lake Erie. However, the finding of an eDNA tells us that fish are present. My assumption is that there would have been many more than six eDNA hits if there are more than a couple of fish in Lake Erie. The six samples are the first positives of more than 2,000 collected since 2010. So let's see, it's a long article. I'll sum it up for you guys. If they're in Lake Erie, that is very far to the east, and that's one lake over. Lake Michigan connects to Superior and Lake Erie up in the north, and we're talking about the south of Lake Michigan in most of these reports that I've been talking about, is that the fish coming up the Mississippi River and the Illinois River and the I&M and the Calumet canals towards the southern tip of Lake Michigan. Well, this would indicate that the fish are far to the east above Ohio and Detroit and Lake Erie. So that would be very bad news. But like I said, I always, you know, keep positive. Nature has a way of balancing it out. So I think I saw some pictures of rednecks wading in and shooting different carp. They thought they were targeting different species with their bow and arrows. Who knows what they hit? And they're probably taking out some endangered native buffalo fishes, et cetera. They're just hitting things with arrows. So there you go. But nature way has a way of balancing, and so there you go. Now, here's the most shocking news story of the day. Asian carp definitely spotted at Taste of Chicago. Free Asian carp at Taste of Chicago. They're unwelcome, but Asian carp aren't gross. Mostly they're just misunderstood, fish experts say. But judge for yourself if Asian carp are delectable or disgusting. Free Asian carp sliders were sampled with jalapeno chutney and made by award-winning Chicago fishmonger Dirk Fusick. And they were handed out Wednesday at noon at Taste of Chicago. I personally did not get a sample of this. I was very tempted to drive down. This man has a restaurant down on the near west side of Chicago. And we're not a marketing firm, McLeod said, but we've heard that being called silverfin in place of Asian carp. Orange roughy used to be called slimehead before they became orange roughy, and now it's overfished. Same with the Patagonia toothfish, which is now called Chilean sea bass, he said. I mean, heck, lobster back in the 1800s was considered only for poor people. It looks like an underwater scorpion, McLeod said. Fusick, who owns Dirk's Fish and Gourmet Shop, adds tarragon, lemon zest, salt, pepper, and breadcrumbs to the ground Asian carp meat, and planned on handing out 750 sliders to the crowds coming to Taste of Chicago. I sell ground Asian carp burgers at my store in Lincoln Park for $8 a pound. We have free samples Saturday from noon to 3 and At first, people are reluctant, but then they take a bite and think it's amazing. I've actually heard mixed reviews on the taste of the silver carp. So there you have it. There's fish news. I'm Johnny Wilkins, and I will be trying to get a taste of the silver carp to share my review with you, and that is fish news. Whoops.
Attention. No fishing. Catching no fish. No bites.
For tough fishing all around North America, where fishing can be very difficult. Catches can be small, slim, or none. New fishing tackle from Chicago Tackle Company, Bear Tackle Floats, built only for catching fish. See our new line of sensitive live bait tackle coming soon across North America online.
You can't Google this, so don't go to Google and try to find this, because you won't. It won't exist, because it's brand new. And also, being brand new, let me know how the experience is in using it, etc., because you guys are going to be the first ones in, and have some stuff is limited quantity, so jump in if you need to, but don't worry, because there is more on the way, so don't worry about that. But this is a big announcement. Live Bait Fishing Tackle .com. Let me do this along with you. Live Bait Fishing Tackle .com, and you should see maybe some sort of Dark Knight-ish theme, perhaps. Don't give it away. Don't spoil it, but check it out, livebaitfishingtackle.com. And some of the floats that we talked about on here, they have been sent out in limited quantity across a few orders. So some people have started testing them and reporting some good results with those. But bottom line is this stuff is it's only stuff that you can have good results with, because I'm going to refuse to sell any junk. If I'm going to talk about it, it's not only going to be endorsed. For an example, if I were to look at some of this stuff, if you're going to look at, and bear in mind, this is brand new, but if you're going to look at like what I call the Ultra Sense floats, those are the ones that we'll be talking about. Chris is using some of those. Those have the silicone on them. The Ultra Sense 0.5, that's the one that I caught the 533 fish in 4 hours on. That's the one I use for speed fishing, and that's the one that I've been testing all season. That's caught 1,600 fish. So I don't sell junk to you guys. So that's it. Livebaitfishandtackle.com is an actual, finally, an online store. Also, you can sign up there for the newsletter, and I'm going to test that out right now. Let's see. At Chicago. Radio at ChicagoFishingSchool.com. Subscribe. Yep. Okay. So you can subscribe to the newsletter there, and I can give you some news on that. I would say that I believe it's there's free shipping for as soon as I get off here. You can go to livebaitfishingtackle.com. I'm going to make it free shipping for any $30 order, so that's your special for being the first in. So as soon as I get off the podcast, I'll jump over, and that is a special that will run through next week. Some of the stuff, like I said, limited quantities on this stuff, so it's still in kind of like the first-year stage. So I apologize if I get that out. Also, there is going to be a delay next week, so if you put an order in and you need it for next Friday, do it by Thursday or Friday to ensure that I can get that out straight away. If you're listening to the podcast and it's Monday or Tuesday, there's going to be like a 4-day gap in there in orders because I am going to be out in the field again, so those won't ship. So there's fair warning. But anyhow, lots to do, and we are on the eve of the big movie, and you got the big announcement. Livebaitfishingtackle.com, and check it out. So the showgram is about catching fish, and that's the bottom line, is that if you're smart and you use your head like the bat, the Batman is all. If you're not familiar with the Batman comic, the guy has no superpowers at all. He's tenacious. He's a detective. He does a lot of research. And that's what I want you guys to be when you go out and into the field and you're trying to break down a situation. Be a detective. Know your surroundings. Learn this stuff. Practice, 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 okay? Like I was saying about having an easy cast, if you are having to use a forceful cast, maybe there's another way to do it. But learn this stuff slowly. I'm going to try and bring to you guys videos and more and more information. And then listeners like Chris, who's going to email me and call, etc., you guys will take the journey with me. So this is just the beginning. So, although I don't think that's the beginning for the bat tomorrow, but we'll talk about that. So, I am about out of here, and we will see if...
Can Batman escape? One hint, the worst is yet to come.
The worst is yet to come, but not for you, because the best is yet to come. This is just the start of good things. So, I'm Jenny Wilkins signing off. So, Dark Knight, we'll have a review. I will talk to you on next week's showgram. And guys,
boys and girls, go back to your studies. Believe me, nothing in life is free.
Boys and girls, go back to your studies. Nothing in life is free. So that's the word of advice, the word of wisdom from the bat.
Tune in tomorrow. Same cat time, same cat channel.
Is he talking catfish? Anyways, I'm Johnny Wilkins. I will see you on the next podcast. Thanks for tuning in and listening and fishing and emailing and catching and having success. And keep on working at it. It's going to be rewarding for you, I promise. So this is just the beginning of great things. And I'll continue to try and bring you good stuff. So thanks once again, and enjoy it. I'll see you next week. Catch you later.